We're going to begin our reading from verse 21 and going to go through chapter 4 all the way to verse 16. We're taking that portion of Scripture and pray that by the blessing of the Spirit of the Lord, it may enable us to shed light on our confession. We're looking at the Apostles' Creed. For those visiting with us, we have been considering a series out of the Heidelberg Catechism. We're at Lord's Day 20. The Catechism's divided up into 52 parts, known also as 52 Lord's Days. In our churches, we are called by the church order to ordinarily have a service where the Word of God is preached in accordance with the truths of the gospel found in the confessions, and particularly the Heidelberg Catechism. And we're looking at Lord's Day 20 today as we carry on with that calling that's been given to us as ministers, and what it is that we confess about the Holy Spirit this morning. Question 53, we'll be reading that question in a moment from page 27 in the back of the hymn book. But first of all, we read from the Scriptures. From 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who's in you is greater than the one who's in the world. They're from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He's given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Thank the Lord for His Word and its encouragement to us. Let's take a moment to read a confession in response to the Word from Lord's Day 20 about what we believe about the Holy Spirit. Here's the question that's asked. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, He, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. Second, He has been given to me personally, so that, by true faith, He makes me share in Christ and all His blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. Let's ask that the Lord would bless the mystery of His Word to us, and His Word has been read. Father, we again come thanking You for the blessing of Your Word as it's read publicly, and Father, as it's about to be ministered and proclaimed. The very Spirit that we acknowledge, we confess, we ask that He would fill our hearts with the blessing of Your Word here. You have told us in Your Word that we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, so says the apostle. But whoever is not from God does not listen. We pray that indeed the Spirit of truth would be at work, so that what we listen to is the Word. We might respond with faith and with the love of which this passage that we just read speaks about. May you accept our prayers to this end for the sake of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Congregation of our Lord, if I were to ask the boys and girls, how do you know if your mom and dad are here today? In fact, that's what I'm going to ask you. How do you know your mom and dad are here today, if they're here? That'd be a pretty quick, easy answer there. You probably wonder, why even ask that question? Why? They're right here. Maybe it's just dad. Maybe it's mom and dad. But you can say, look, they're sitting right next to me. They're right here. That's how I know. It's good to know that when you need your mom or your dad, that they're there for you. Or friend. And you can say, I can count on them to be of help to me, and I can count on them to guide me or to protect me, to love me. It can feel a bit different sometimes when they're not right there for me. You know, some of these cadets that are going to be going away, some of them are going without their parents, and there might be, it may not be among those who are going, but it could be, but certainly it's bound to be that some of those who are going to be at this cadet camporee are, they're going to miss their parents. It might be the first time they've ever been away from their parents for a while. And there can be that homesickness we talk about. It's a little bit different when mom and dad aren't right there. Their presence is very important to us. But what about when we speak of God? How do we know whether God is with us or not? How can I know that the Holy Spirit is there for me? I can't just point to God like I can point to Dad and say, there He is. I can't do that with God. I can't point to God and say, I know He's here because you can see Him in the flesh. Because God isn't that way where we can see Him visibly here on earth. And yet it's very important that we are able to say with certainty that God is with us. Because when He's with us, then we can speak about the blessings that there are there for us when He's there for us. Like with so many things, people have all kinds of ideas as to how they know that God is with them, or how they know that the Spirit is with them. But as Christians, we have to define this and we have to characterize this, not first of all by what we think or what we feel assures us of His presence. Not first of all that. But what Scripture tells us and what Scripture defines that certainty to be. Not first of all because of what we think or what we experience or what we feel, but what Scripture defines that certainty to be. But certainty we need. Because whether we believe it or not, we cannot live without God with us. And so with that in mind, we want to take a look this morning at our confession of the Holy Spirit, our belief, our trust in the Holy Spirit. Particularly, we look this morning at His blessings. And we consider His initial blessings, His subsequent blessings, or those things that follow that initiation. And we also consider His everlasting or His eternal blessings. First of all, His initial blessings. The Catechism says about the Holy Spirit that He is given personally to people. It says that He has been, this is a confession that the Christian makes, that He's been given to me personally. We can speak about how the Spirit came historically upon the church at Pentecost. And in that initiation, in that Pentecostal time, the spreading of the gospel to the nations and the encouragement of the church of Jesus Christ, of Christ's presence and God's presence with the church was made manifest. It was a foretaste for the church of the glories to come for God's people, unto the glory of God's name, to be sure. And certainly that was an initiation of sorts. But we can also speak of how God's Spirit, Christ's presence through His Spirit, is initiated individually, personally, throughout history. We can speak of that of ourselves when we make the good confession about the Holy Spirit. There has to be that kind of initiation, where the Father and the Son give the gift of the Spirit to people. And without that initiation, any less than the Father's love in sending His Son and the Son's love for His Father and His people, we would remain spiritually lost. You notice in our passage that we read a moment ago here that the passage says that we didn't love God first, but He loved us. Now, that's a principle not only in the Father's love, as it's made very clear in that passage to us in sending His Son, but it's also the Son's love. God so loved the world, we could find in John 3:16 that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. We can turn to the letter to the Romans and we could find the truths that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But that principle of initiation, of divine initiation, or of first love in terms of God's love, also applies to the gift of the Holy Spirit. First, God's love is shown to people when the Spirit of God comes into their hearts. People don't first love the Spirit of God. God first loves when He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what's true about the Father and the Son is also true about the Spirit then. We did not first of all love or trust God on our own strength, but He loved us with the gift of the Spirit of God. And we see that in this passage that we just read throughout. You see it all throughout the passage. It's hard to just pick one spot because it just keeps coming up. This passage speaks to the essentiality and the priority of God's Spirit to be at work in our lives. And so whether you hear this passage said, we are from God, or this is how we recognize the Spirit of truth from the Spirit of falsehood, and that it depends on what we confess about Jesus Christ, or that it depends on how we respond to the Word, if we respond to the Word in faith, if we respond to the Apostles' Word in faith, then that shows that the Spirit's with us. If we don't, if we follow the spirit of the world, it shows that the Spirit's not with us. If we don't confess Christ as having come into the flesh, as true man and true God, as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world, as the atoning sacrifice for our sin, if we don't confess that, if we don't love one another in light of that, then the Spirit's not at work in us. And we're not from God or from God. And then the gift of the Spirit hasn't been given to us. And you'd be one of those spirits that John would say that people need to test to see if you're from God or not. And it would show yourself not to be. It would show that God's love hasn't been ours to experience or to receive. If you hear people talking in those kind of false terms, that show that they haven't had it either, and that God isn't living in them. We know that Scripture would tell us otherwise, and elsewhere, I should say elsewhere, that unless we're born again, that we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And that is talking about the Spirit of God at work in people's lives to regenerate their otherwise dead spiritual existence. And that's why we confess the way that we do at some point of our in our lives. And maybe we remember that particular point, and maybe we don't. But at some particular point in our lives, the Spirit initiates His work in us. So that by faith we make the confession that Christ is the Son of God, that He's the Savior, that He has atoned for our sin, that He is true man, that He is true God, that He's worthy of our trust, that He's worthy of our life, that He's worthy of our love. And worthy of being heard as He's called us to love one another. He's worthy of being our Savior and Lord. And we embrace that and we celebrate that and we trust that and we're convicted by that. So here's a place, you see, where somebody were to ask you, how do you know that the Spirit of God is dwelling in your life? There's something very concrete, something very tangible that you can say to them. And you don't have to simply say, well, I felt Him. Now, I had this experience, and that's why I know. Or I lost control of myself suddenly. That's how I know. I had this extraordinary, overwhelming sensation. Now, joy and happiness may certainly be an experience and that which follows. But only because what you could say, and what you do say, and what you do confess is this. I believe that Jesus Christ, true man, true God, is my Savior and Lord. That's it. Now, I know that may not seem very extraordinary to some people. And that may not seem like something that people would like to watch on television. When it comes to spectacle and dramatics, that doesn't seem like something that would draw the masses to you. But that's enough proof that the Spirit of Christ is at work in you. And whether people are attracted to that or not, that's a marvelous thing to say, to know, to be able to say that that's what you believe. Because a marvelous thing has happened to you. Because as the Scriptures tell us, nobody makes that confession. Nobody confesses that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. God's at work when you do that, when you say that, when you're convicted by that. If you won't make that confession, or if you don't make that confession, our passage is clear enough to us here that God isn't at work in you. You want to know whether God is with you? Look at verse 23. To believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commands. That's His command. And that's how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us, who enables us to make that conviction and that confession. You want to know whether God's with you? You want to know whether He's for you? You want to know whether the Spirit of God's at work in you? Then ask yourself whether you confess faith in Christ. Examine yourself. Even as you're to do before you come to the Lord's table. Because you wouldn't do it without God at work. It's because that the Father and the Son has bestowed His Spirit upon you, that you may know Christ and you may know that God's with you. That's a marvelous thing to know. You may not always feel like He's here with you. And in your sin, you may not always live like He's there with you. And your circumstance in life may not always make you conclude that He is there with you. But you wouldn't confess Him if He wasn't. That's marvelously comforting and humbling. You don't take pride in how remarkably intelligent you were in making that confession. Or even in the love that you show to somebody else. You take pride in how remarkably graciously God was to you, so you could make that confession. And so you could love someone beside yourself. When you confess the Holy Spirit, it's a humbling thing. When you make the confession about Jesus Christ, it's a humbling thing because you wouldn't do it on your own. Does it humble you? Does it? For the blessing of the Holy Spirit is what enables you and enabled you to make a good confession of Christ from the beginning. God began a good work in you, not you, not me. And it encourages us to know, to be sure, that the Spirit is at work in our lives. But it should also humble us before God, who deserves all our praise. It's why we're here today. To praise the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And it should also humble us as we walk around and live amongst the people around us. And it's from that initiation that all the blessings of Christ flow to you. We make that point too, don't we? That He makes us share by true faith in Christ and all His blessings. Because He's been given to me a share in Christ and all His blessings. When the Spirit of the Lord is given to me unto faith, I'm connected to the vine as a branch. I'm a member of the body. If I'm disconnected, I don't have any life. If I'm connected, I can bear fruit. I can be useful. I'm alive. And we sing that the benefits of Christ are vast. They're blessings that nobody can buy for you. And anytime you see somebody in Christ who's down, who's had something, a poor turn come to them, it's amazing how they will talk about those things that have come into their lives, that they say, you know, I can never buy any of these things. They are things, they are gifts that the Lord gives. Indeed, the blessings of the Lord are vast. You have access to the means of grace. We hear that and hear this also about in our passage, how the Word is there to be a blessing. Next week, we get to celebrate the sacrament to help us also further in our faith. We have the communion with God in prayer. We've got our eyes open to what life's about. We got the privilege of being blessed by the church and to be a blessing in the church. It's a remarkable thing when we can say that Christ, what Christ has, we share. He's an heir. We're co-heirs with Him. He's the first fruits of those who fall asleep. We're going to be the harvest of that resurrection. We can know that all things will work for our good. We walk daily under the intercessory work of Jesus Christ and His Spirit so that your cause is always pleaded under the glory of the Father. You're in light. You're not in darkness. You're children. You're not orphans. Your life isn't hopelessness. It's hope. And the way you walk is no longer a puzzle to you. The mystery's been revealed. Your conscience doesn't have to accuse you anymore. But if it does, you have an advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ, our righteousness. It doesn't mean that you'll be rich. But your sufficiency in Christ will be your peace. It isn't that everybody's going to like you, but you'll be loved by God. It isn't that you'll never be left in one sense alone in this world. Your loved ones might be taken from you, but then again, you'll never be alone. It doesn't mean that everything in life is going to be a pleasure for you, but you can take pleasure in serving the Lord and take comfort in knowing that He takes pleasure in loving you. And every new day that you rise up will be a day that God's faithfulness will be made manifest. You need only see it in faith. And every time when you go to bed at night, the keeper of Israel isn't going to slumber or sleep while you rest. And you may grow tired and you may grow weary physically, but spiritually God will renew you every day to face every new challenge. You'll be equipped to be God's instrument of love, mercy, service, productivity in this world. These and so many more things are the things the Lord provides and does provide through the Spirit of God. And the Spirit will comfort you. We confess that too. Will He speak in your ear? Well, He'll work with you. So that the truths of the gospel will be yours to embrace and cherish more and more with each new passing day. He'll use the sacrament next week to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. You may not have much, but He'll comfort you with the knowledge that you belong to Christ. You may have a long race to run of faith, but He'll help you to the end. And when the spirit of the world wants you to deny the gospel promises, you won't, because you know that He who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. Is the Spirit with you? Is He at your side? Do you continue to profess Christ? Do you keep praying? Do you keep praising? Do you stand firm in your faith? If you're not giving up on God, then He hasn't given up on you. And those are signs that God's with you, regardless of your station in life. These are signs that the Spirit of God is at work within you. Scripture tells us also that the Spirit's going to be with us forever. Jesus said that when He promised to bring the Spirit. He said the Spirit will be with you forever, John 14:16. And that's the nature of God. That's the kind of God He is. He's a covenant God. He's the one who has said to us when He makes covenant with us, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that would be no different for the Spirit as it would be for the Father and the Son. I'll be with you until the end of the age. And it shouldn't surprise us then that the Spirit would be this faithful friend to us. You and I have got lots, well, I shouldn't say we all have lots of faithful friends, but we know what a faithful friend is. We have faithful friends throughout life, and they're means that the Lord uses to help us grow in the Lord and to know His blessing. But even our most faithful friends falter. Even they sin. Even they can disappoint. Because they're not perfect. And in fact, they must pass from the scene one day also. But that's not the case with the Spirit of God. We have Him as a deposit, but that's the deposit of the great riches of His grace to come. Our lives know new life. We're being sanctified, but we look forward to greater things. We're new creatures in Christ, but We're going to be new creatures in Christ everlastingly. We know the power of the Spirit spiritually and inwardly in His creatures, but we look forward to know the power of the Spirit remarkably in the resurrection with resurrected bodies, spiritual bodies, empowered by the Spirit. Bodies no longer mortal, bodies no longer incorruptible. And that's made possible by the Spirit who's with us not only in this life, but also in the life to come. Not just for our souls, but for our bodies. We can always count on the Spirit then. We can ask the question, is the Spirit with us now? But we can also ask the question, can we always count on Him? To help us through everything that's going to be happening in life, through thick and thin, and also through death's dark veil, into resurrection. And the answer is yes! And I know it may not always feel that way. And I know that it may not always look that way. But it is that way. Because God is always faithful to His own. You may be one of those who wonder, is God really for me? Is God really with me? Can I always count on God? How do I know if God's really there for me? It doesn't always seem that way. It doesn't always look that way. Look at your life. Examine yourself. You've been called to that before the Lord's Supper. Look at your life. Where's your trust today? Is it in Christ as your Savior? For whom are you living? To whom do you turn in your time of need? Is it to Christ and His Father? To whom are you entrusting your future? If you're leaving it in the hands of the Father and the Son, then you're also leaving it in the hands of the Spirit. And that kind of confession is a proof of God's Spirit at work in you. It's remarkable. It's marvelous. It's humbling. Knowing that God, the Almighty God, is at work in you by His Spirit is most comforting in a world where we can't make it without the knowledge that God is with us in Christ Jesus by the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. I pray that that's what you're saying when you say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that as well as the Father and the Son, Spirit is eternal God. Grateful that we can make the confession that He has been given to us personally, so that by true faith we may share in Christ and all His blessings. We may know His comfort. And we may know the joy of His presence forever. We can live in a world, we live in our times and our situations where we might question, is God really there for me? Can I really count on Him? Because in our own eyes, it doesn't always seem that way. It doesn't always look that way. But Lord, we're called to examine ourselves and whether it is before approaching the table of the Lord, as we go about our lives, to ask ourselves, where is our trust? Who is our Savior? For whom are we living? To whom do we turn? Father, if we conclude by saying it is still Christ, it is still to the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we may know that as we leave these matters, we leave all things in the hands of our faithful Father and in His Son. Be it for salvation or direction in life, then it shows that You are living in us by the work of the Spirit. What a marvelous thing. May that be our confession today as we make the confession about the Spirit of God. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.